may be seated. Throne in thy kingly crown. Number 79 in your hymn books this morning. Let's sing unto the Lord. Number 79.
Oh, come to my heart.
second verse now. This morning, are you glad you're saved? Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. How many of our young people are glad there's only 5 more days of school till Christmas break? All right. How many parents are glad? All right. We want to take just a moment, young people. We want to show you our Christmas tree this morning. And tonight at 6 o'clock and tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we'll be presenting our cantata, Christmas at Home. And we want you to bring your parents. We thought we'd get that wow when we turn the lights on. And so we want you to bring your parents and see the entire Christmas cantata. The choir will sing. We have a play that's going on about the War of 1812 right from this area in Woodhouse Township. And so you'll be blessed by that. So bring your parents tonight and tomorrow night, 6 o'clock tonight, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. If you cannot remember, out on our Welcome Center, there's some flyers. Take one home to your mom and dad, all right? Pastor McDonald's going to come and open our service.
Wow. Something else. You turn the lights off and I show up. Darkness. You know, Luke chapter 1, verse 37, the angel, when he's speaking to Mary and announcing that she's going to be carrying the Christ child, he says this. He said, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." You see, our God makes the impossible possible. So I hope you came here this morning expecting a miracle, because God still does them. It's an amazing thing. This week we have, for birthdays, we have Marilyn Roberts and Abby Benaway are sharing a day. It's on Monday, their birthdays. On Thursday, there's Angel Secord and also James DeField are celebrating birthdays on Thursday. And I've got written down here that we have an anniversary coming up on Saturday, and it's the 29th anniversary for Tony and Lori Baker. So make sure that you congratulate. I can't believe 29 years. They don't look a day over whatever. Okay, they don't look a day over. So it's looking great. So be in prayers. Pastor's already mentioned for our Christmas cantata. If you were here last night, I just encourage you to come on out again, because you know what? Every night we have a different ending. Well, we'll see how it goes. If I don't remember my lines, every night will be a different ending. All right? But I encourage you to come on out in a serious note, and I'll tell you why. Because the more people we have here, when we have visitors, it's an encouragement for them. And the whole purpose behind this, everything that you see here, the whole purpose is to get out the gospel. Pastor's going to be preaching the gospel, giving an invitation, and it all builds to that. So if we can have our people, I know you have a lot of things going on, but if you can make it out to more than one service, it would be awesome, because you're supporting the gospel. You're actually an active ministry just sitting in the pews. It's that important. All right, so just to put that on to you. Brother Gordon Spong, if you'd pray for this morning's offering.
Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to join you and give back to you what you have abundantly blessed us with. Pray, Father, that we use the glory of God, the presence of the gospel of Christ Jesus, and all we do, say, even think, Father, your peace for thee. We ask this in thy precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
When you first went to my parents' anniversary, we had 19 years down there. I'm like, I am a little bit surprised at that because I would have been 5 years old at the time. But we got that straightened around. So 29 years, so congratulations to that. We'll pray and then we'll dismiss all our kids for junior church. All right? Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for this church, the ability to come here. God, I pray that you bless us in junior church, bless the children. And I pray if there's any not saved that, today that they would have that opportunity. We pray in Christ's name.
Let's sing our hymn books again, please. Number 29. Number 29, we'll stand and let the children be dismissed. The love of God. What a great Christmas carol. The love of God. 29. You may be seated.
Or comfort for this child, no pillow soft to lay his head. The Lord of all was turned away to rugged, lowly manger bed. Though men reject the His holy precious name, he stands their hearts of doubt to save, and comes their sinful souls to cling. But what of Christ, God's only Son? In him abundant life is offered. Come unto him, receive his love. By faith believe his promise true, and hear his loving within that shed so warm, The shepherds found their Lord and King.
With hearts of faith received his love, their gifts of love and praise to bring.
From manger bed to hearts of men, his work of love. Lowliness so meek and mild, a wondrous pattern rich and sweet. But what a Christ, God's only Son.
Sometimes if God looks down upon our Christmas celebrations and he says, but what of Christ? If he wonders why his son has been so badly excluded, we don't see it in our shops and the malls, do we? It's all about Santa Claus and snowmen and all the rest. But what of Christ? Matthew chapter 1 this morning, the title of my message is Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. I'm going to admit something to you. I've had a hard time with our play a little bit. And the reason for that is because it's about a 15-year-old boy dying, for one. But when I hear the voice, it's my son. And so I'm up in the tree and I hear this boy crying out for God. And it pricks my heart because it's my boy's voice. And so that's a difficult thing. But he kept crying out, Emmanuel, God be with us. You know, I got thinking about his prayer, Emmanuel, God be with us. If you're a child of God, you never have to ask God to be with you, for he will never leave you nor forsake you. What a wonderful promise we find in God's word. Before we read our scripture this morning, if I could add a couple things to what Pastor McDonald has already said, let me encourage you to come tonight and tomorrow night. I know you're busy, there's Christmas dinners, there's everything else, but if you could give 1 hour to serve the Lord and make our visitors feel welcome. Come around and shake their hand. Be active. Don't just come and sit like we often do. Get around and talk to people. And it was good to hear how many people came from so far last night in different areas. Everywhere we went, I'd say, where are you from? And I'm surprised how many came from 2 hours away. Some was from Sarnia last night, some from Toronto, and they're here today as well. And we're thankful for that. And so get to know people and encourage them. And, you know, if you think about it, we're the only independent Baptist church in Norfolk County. And so people will come a distance if they're looking for that type of church. And so be friendly to people and come and encourage them. If you see somebody, we had a gentleman here last night all by himself, sitting all by himself, and he had a great smile. He says, I come every single year. I love it. And he comes every year. And I thought, you know, if somebody went around and shook his hand, they might be inclined to sit with him and be a friend to him. And so we need things like that. So come tonight, tomorrow night, be an encouragement to somebody. You never know how you might impress upon their heart. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, begin reading with me if you will in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophet, of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love for us, and we thank you, Lord, that you are come in flesh, and now that you have ascended back to heaven, you have sent your Holy Spirit, that we can always know that we have the presence of God. Father, we pray that you would help us, Lord, as we go through this passage this morning. May the Spirit of God help me, fill me, I pray, I surrender to you. And Lord, help each one of us to draw closer to you in this hour. And Father, we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, something that strikes me about this passage is I've read it 100 times. Every Christmas, I've told you before, every Christmas for about a month, preachers try to wrangle out new messages from the same 3 passages of Scripture every year. But something struck me this year that I'd never seen before or never thought of much. The Bible says his name shall be called Emmanuel. But look at the next couple words. Which being interpreted is. I thought, why is that in there? The Scriptures in the book of Matthew, you would have to understand, were written to a Jewish people. And Jewish people spoke Hebrew, and Emmanuel is a Hebrew word. And they wouldn't need it interpreted, would they? If I went to any Jewish person, if I went to Simeon at the temple, and I said, hey, Emmanuel's here today, he didn't know exactly what I meant. He'd say, God is with us. You mean God is in this place? If I went to any of those contemporaries, those people that were in Roman captivity and those that were living in Judea, every person would know what the name Emmanuel meant. It was a common Hebrew word. So why does it need to be interpreted into the Greek? Why is the author trying to tell us what it means? That tells me that it's not just for the Jew. It's for the whole world. The common language of that day was the Greek language, and so the Bible records the Hebrew word, but it is also very careful to say, which being interpreted, and we have it in English, but it was interpreted into the Greek, means God is with us. This message is not just for the Jew, but it is also for the Greek. It is for the entire world. You know, some might say, well, the context determines that the letter was written to the Jews. Yes, I will admit that the Bible, the gospel went to the Jew first, but the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, later it would go to the uttermost parts of the earth. My Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15, the Bible says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then, of course, the great invitation of Revelation, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The gospel message is for the entire world. And all bound up in those 2 little words, being interpreted, is saying this is not just for the Jew, but Jesus Christ died for the sins of the entire world. I want you to notice some things about God's presence this morning, about this name Emmanuel, that God is with us. It's an important reminder today to us that we know that God is always, always, always in our midst. Sometimes we like to think that he's not. That he can't see the things that we are doing, but the Bible says that he knows the thoughts of our hearts. He discerns the thoughts of our hearts. The Word of God is quick and powerful, and Jesus Christ is that living Word. He knows what's going on in our hearts and in our minds. I want you to see, first of all, this morning, the promise of his presence. The promise of his presence. His name alone is enough to make us shout his praises. Emmanuel, God is with us. I imagine those shepherds on a hillside, when they knew that Emmanuel had come, they thought, this is the one we've been waiting for, and he will never leave us. You understand that they were expecting the Messiah to come to set up his kingdom, and it would be that earthly, eternal kingdom. But Christ came and left this earth upon a cross, ascended to his Father, but he said, I will not leave you comfortless. And he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts. We have the promise of his coming that he would not leave us. I want you to notice in that name, Emmanuel, we see his condescension. Just think of that phrase, God with us. When I think of that, I think of God with us. How Jesus came from the splendors of glory and he condescended himself. I'm not talking about the manger now. I'm not talking about him walking among flesh. I'm just talking about in a very spiritual sense that God, the holy, the righteous, the almighty God, would come down and live in a place of sin. How it must have grated him at times, and yet he was perfect in patience and long-suffering. How it must have been an offense to his eyes to see what was going on in the name of his Father. And yet he loved people anyway. In that name, God with us, we see his condescension. It's a humility of his spirit. But we also see his condition. He was from king to pauper. Angels sang his praises on that night, but we don't see it recorded again in the scriptures. We believe that there was ministering angels to try to help him, but even his Father forsook him on the cross. His name that was the highest name in heaven became the lowest name on earth. But you know, the Bible says now it's the name above all names. Philippians chapter 2 is because he became obedient to the death of the cross, God hath given him a name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. His condition changed drastically. Can you imagine? I don't know if you've ever seen these reality shows at all, but every once in a while they'll have some millionaire go live like on the streets as a homeless man and try to get by and see what it's really like. And it's often an attempt to show people how their hearts can be changed and tender towards these people and try to be a help and a blessing to them. And often these men, they can't even stand a few days' growth. It starts to itch and the clothes get dirty for a couple days. And aren't we kind of spoiled that? Have you ever been in one of those situations and you've gone maybe a day and the next day you get up something's happened and you're busy, and I mean it's been 24, 25, 26 hours and you're going, man, I feel rotten. I haven't had a shower yet today. That's how spoiled we are sometimes. But we can go to the tap and get clean water. We can be blessed with all the things that God has given us. Christ left perfection. And his condition changed in such a way that he was subjected to this filthy earth. They didn't have the conveniences that we have today. Israel is in the Mideast, but for all intents and purposes, it's the north part of Africa. We've been there. It's desert. We've been to Israel. It's hot. It's dusty. It's dirty. Today, with all the modern conveniences they have, Christ did not have those. And he allowed himself to step out of heaven. It was a drastic change in comfort. It was a sacrifice for Christ to come. God with us. And you say, why did it? Because of his care. In that name, Emmanuel, God with us, we see that he cared for us. Why would he condescend himself? Why would he allow the conditions to change? It's because of his care. Because he loved us. That God would be with us. That God would come down to our level. That God would sacrifice himself on a hill called Calvary. He did it because he loved us. We've talked a little bit about the promise of his presence. I want to talk about the reality of his presence. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit is with you if you're saved today? That God is here. Can I tell you this? If you have not yet trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you know that God is in your presence now? The Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, Christ is here in the midst. And if you say, I feel that tugging on my heart, there's something about the service today. That's nothing that I am doing. That's nothing that I am saying. I'm not trying to manipulate you. That's God's presence in this place. That's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. I don't want to make any mistake about it. So often we have an invitation. I want you to understand when you feel that, don't think you're being manipulated. Don't think that some slick preacher is trying to do something and make you force you into some decision. That's the Holy Spirit of God. And He wants so desperately to have a relationship with you. Years ago, we had a family in our church, a Filipino family that came, and they came for quite some time, and they were the only Filipino family we had. We had a large section of African folks in our church. It was a really neat experience. They were great. And let me tell you, nobody can sing like African folks. I didn't know that there were 17 parts in a song. But they all sang a different part. And I mean, it was incredible when that family would get up and sing and all their cousins. It was just an incredible experience. We had our own little African choir. But we only had one Filipino family. And they came for quite some time. Well, after a while, I guess Dad decided he wanted his kids to know more about the Filipino culture, so they went to a Filipino church, and with our blessing, we talked to us about it, and we talked to them, and he said, that's fine, that's your culture, we get that. But he was talking, we had Jing Batok Jr. staying with us for a little while, and he was talking to Jing, and of course, Jing is a Filipino, and he made friends with him, and he says, I don't know, he says, we enjoy coming here because all of us, we can speak Tagalog again and we can speak our language and the preaching's in our Bible and our language. And he says, so we enjoy that. He says, but he says, there's something about, he says, when we're at Faith Baptist, he says, every service we feel something in our heart. But he says, here it's just about the fun and the fellowship. And Jing tried to tell him, he says, that's the Spirit of God. Don't go to a church. He said, I'm not telling you to come back here, but don't go to a church where you don't feel the Spirit of God. We need God's presence. Is it a reality in your life today? Listen, you don't have to go to church to feel God's presence. You should know Him. I like those old songs. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. It's just a reality. Don't try to tell me that God is dead. I just talked to Him this morning. I mean, it ought to be a reality in your life. Do you know Christ's presence? Turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Here's an interesting study for you to do sometime. Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. I'm not preaching on this, but this is interesting. The Bible says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was led of the Holy Ghost. But after his temptation, the Bible says in verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. You know, sometimes we get filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, and temptation comes. And instead of allowing it to build power in our lives, we say, I'm done. And we back off. The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates that the Holy Spirit of God in our life can build power. And there went out a fame of Him throughout all the region round about, and He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Verse 16, and He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed the book, and He gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. The Lord Jesus Christ came, and let me summarize it this way, He came to change your life. That's the reality of the presence of God. Look what the Bible says in prophetic utterance about the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to preach freedom to the captives. All these things, if we can summarize, He wants to change your life. That's what the presence of God can do. Emmanuel, God with us. In Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist is in jail. He's in Herod's prison. We know that in just a few days from this point that his head will be taken from him. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, I want you to read in verse 4. In verse 3, he said unto them, John the Baptist said, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? You can imagine that John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Christ, was struggling a little bit. He was in prison, thought probably he'd likely die. And you wonder, Jesus, are you the one? Or should we look for another? Jesus never said he'd free him from prison. Notice what he says. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. What was Jesus saying? Lives are being changed. That's the reality of the presence of God. That's what happens when we allow God to be with us. I say we allow God to be with us because so often we shut him out of our lives. So often we reject the gospel message. You'll notice both in Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 11, the word preached is used. Preaching is something that needs to be responded to. The good news was being proclaimed, but if people refuse it, how does it help them? You must accept the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. God wants to change your life. You know, we read in the Bible, and I won't turn you to all these passages, but do you remember when Moses returned from Mount Sinai after having received the commandments of God? The Bible said his face shone. He didn't even realize that people couldn't look upon him. They had to cover with a veil, and he'd go back and talk to the Lord and take the veil off, but then he'd have to put a veil on because he was shining. There's a deacon in the Bible by the name of Stephen. At the end of Acts chapter 6, he was put on trial. And the Bible says they looked at him and his face shone like an angel. Later on, he would look to the heavens and say, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That's what the presence of God did. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ as he went up in the mountain to pray and took Peter, James, and John, and they stood afar off. The Bible says his face shone. And the voice of God said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. The point I'm trying to make is that when you get into the presence of God, it changes you. There ought to be a change. I'm not saying your face is going to shine. Ladies would go and powder themselves if it did. I'm not saying you're going to glow like Moses or like Stephen or like Jesus. I'm saying those things were put in the Word of God to show us that when God gets into something, it changes. And we begin to reflect his glory as people see Christ in us. Allow Jesus Christ to change your life. I think there's some things that need to change. I think Christ should change our behavior. I think we ought to be new creatures in Christ. I think old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. There's been a great change since I've been born again. I think it ought to change our behavior. And listen, you say, well, how can it change my behavior? Listen, think about this. Everywhere you go, he goes. Everything you see, he sees. Everything you say, he hears. He said, but you don't understand how hard it is. I played the game. I understand. I understood what it was like to be around my friends at school and then have to behave in front of my parents. I understood what it was to flip the switch on and off. I understood how I behaved when I hung out with my school friends and then when I came on a youth activity. And I could just flip that switch and nobody would know the difference. When we get in the presence of Christ, something ought to change. But here's the kicker. You never leave his presence. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Wherever you go, he goes. Whatever you see, he sees. Whatever you say, he hears. Emmanuel, God with us. It ought to change our behavior. It ought to change our demeanor. Christians ought to be the sweetest spirited people you ever met. That ought to be the truth. we had a family friend, and we went down on a vacation and visited with them a little bit. And the lady's mother, her name was Kuella. Have you ever heard that name before? Kuella. Well, I guess she was such a nasty person, they called her Cruella. Like one of the villains off of one of those Disney movies. If the kids were here, they knew who I'm talking about. But Mr. Claver's smiling. He must watch the Disney stuff too. I don't know. But the Cruella, I guess, was this villainous woman, a witch or something. And so they secretly called her Cruella. And for years, we'd hear about this Cruella. And, you know, we didn't think much of it. Well, we went to visit. We stopped in to visit with Cruella. We went over there and we had him. And I finally said to the son-in-law later, I said, I don't see what you're getting at. This is a sweet lady. I mean, she is incredibly kind and nice. And he says, you know, he says, we think she got saved about 2 years ago. He says, she always professed to be a Christian. She always was a member at the church. He says, but something happened in her life 2 years ago. We hadn't seen them in a couple years. He says, something happened in her life 2 years ago and it changed her. And she's the sweetest lady we know. That ought to be the case. God changes us that we are a sweet-spirited people. That we love one another. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ coming down and acting like we do? No, we're supposed to act like he does. Be kind and loving, forgiving. That's what happens when God is with us. By the way, it ought to change your behavior, your demeanor, but it also changes your outlook. Do you know the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is just the earnest or the down payment? It's just a portion of what we're going to receive. If you have the joy of the Holy Spirit today, you can honestly say, man, heaven's going to be awesome. Because if God is this good to me now, can you imagine what heaven is like? The presence of God in our lives should change our very outlook. Then I want you to see, thirdly, the eternity of his presence. The eternity of his presence. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Somebody sent me a little cartoon the other day and said, if we want to be scriptural, men should make the coffee because Hebrews. I don't know if that's right or not. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. All the ladies said amen. They'll expect it in the morning when they get up. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. Now notice, for he hath said. This isn't just some promise from some writer. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I've often had this thought. If I were to die tonight and open my eyes in hell, it means that God lied to me because the Holy Spirit can never leave me nor forsake me. If I wake up in hell, the Holy Spirit has to be there with me because he said he would never leave me. Is that possible? Would the Holy Spirit, would God go to hell? Doesn't the Bible say, I will not allow my Holy One to see corruption? I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a good person. I'm a sinner. I'm going to heaven because of what Christ did. Because he is perfect, because he is holy. And he says, I will. When I read, I will never leave you nor forsake you, you know what it tells me? I'll never let you go. I've got a hold of you. No one will pluck you out of my hand. I can't go to hell if I have a relationship with Emmanuel because God is with me. The only person ever, ever, ever forsaken was Jesus on the cross. If you have a relationship with Jesus today, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Only Jesus understands that pain. You say, why did God forsake him? I suppose there's a lot of theological answers and a lot of preaching we could do on that, but I'll say this, here's one reason. He was forsaken so you wouldn't have to be. He bore your sin. He was forsaken because God could not look upon our sin that was laid upon the back of Christ. He was forsaken so you would never have to be. He took your place not just in punishment, but in disfavor, in disgust, in defilement. He was treated horribly and crucified for you. He did that so he could honestly say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The presence of God in your life is not something you can put on and put off. Now, the Bible says we are to be filled in the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, it means to surrender control. Allow God to have the control in our life. The comparison is made in that very same scripture. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And we understand that when somebody is drunk with wine, it has taken control of them. They don't have control of themselves. The Holy Spirit is to have control of our lives. And there are times that we vex the Holy Spirit and we grieve the Holy Spirit and we shun the Holy Spirit and we quench the Holy Spirit. And there are times that we have sinned against the Spirit of God and He is grieved in our lives and we are not surrendered or filled by Him, but He is still there. He has never left us. We are commanded again to be filled. But we need to be reminded today that it is not something we can put on and put off. It is not something that we can just simply say, well, I'll lay aside His presence for a while and I'll go and do this wicked thing. No, the fact that He's in your life means you'll either honor Him or you'll dishonor Him. When you honor Him, you're filled. God is glorified and honored and praised. You know, it's interesting how we music is such an important part of the Christian life. And when we have the right music, in the same passage it talks about being filled with the Spirit, it says speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Because you're feeding the Spirit of God. And when He is fed, and when He is glorified, He takes over in our lives. Well, it tells me something when we listen to the wrong music, doesn't it? Wicked things that glorify sex and the perversions of this world. That's not feeding the Spirit of God. He is always, always, always going to be in you. His presence is eternal. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God is with us. Are you going to honor Him or dishonor Him? That's a tough question to answer, isn't it? I can't tell how many times I've failed. How many times that we don't even mean to. We don't even know. We're human. We're flesh. And we just blow it. But at the end of the day, really the question is, what will I do to make sure God is pleased with my life? Will I honor Him? There was a fellow years ago, I'll close with this, that I was trying to help. He'd come to church for a while and kind of got away. He was struggling with several things in his life, and I'm not just talking about little things, grotesque sin. Homosexuality and all kinds of different things. It was a mess. And he was going from church to church to church, just running around. And I finally asked him, I said, why are you doing that? I said, we're happy to help you. I said, if you don't, I was young. I said, if you don't trust me, I said, I'm glad to find somebody that helps you. And then I realized, and I asked him, I said, are you just going around to a church that's saying that you're looking for a church that'll say what I'm doing is okay? He said, that's exactly what I'm doing. Began to try to talk to him and help him. And he was so deep in sin, almost everything he said was absolute foolishness. I can't even repeat to you some of the things he said. This was a man that claimed to be a born-again Christian. He says, I can't make that decision. I can't think about that. And he said this literally to me. He had got saved or made a profession of faith in 1972. And we're talking now, it's 1998. And he'd been saved for 26 years. And he hadn't drank in all those years. He says, I wish I had a few beers in me right now. Then I could talk to you about this better. I thought, what a foolish thing to say. But you see, when you get into sin, the Spirit of God is quenched. It was like a drug. Sin was like a drug. He couldn't even think or talk straight. But you see, when the Spirit of God comes in, He gives you clarity of thought. That's why I have a problem with you, if you go into a church and they start rolling on the floor and frothing at the mouth and doing all kinds of silly things. The Holy Spirit always brings control, not chaos. Amen? The Holy Spirit brings control, peace, not chaos and foolishness. God said, let things be done decently in order, and the Holy Spirit comes in our life to help us accomplish God's will, to do exactly that. This fellow had complete chaos because he was out of God's will. Let me encourage you today to be reminded, Emmanuel, God with us. For the child of God, that's a wonderful comfort to know that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you're running from God today, that ought to convict your heart to know, everywhere I go, he goes. Everything I see, he sees. Everything I say, he hears. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wonderful promise of your presence in our lives. We thank you for Emmanuel, God in the flesh. The Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. We thank you and praise you today for the wonderful gift that is Jesus Christ, and now that he's returned to the Father, we have the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says he will testify of me. We have constant reminders every day of what the Lord has done for us. Father, maybe there's somebody here today that has not realized the presence of God in their life. They've not come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We know that you're here in this place. We have the promise of your Word. So we ask, Lord, that you'd speak to their hearts and help them to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ today. Lord, let him change their lives forever. And Father, we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The instruments are going to begin to play. If God has spoke to your heart, would you come and this old-fashioned altar and pray? Maybe there's some here today that would like to take some time and just thank God for his enduring promise of this presence in your life. Isn't it good to know that he'll never leave you nor forsake you if you're a child of God? Maybe there's some here today that need to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into their lives. So how do I do that? First of all, we need to recognize that we're sinners. We're all lost. We can't get to heaven without Jesus Christ. We're trusting in our own way, our works, our religion, our creeds. We must repent of all that. Trust in Jesus Christ alone. Come to him. He died for you. Only he died for you. And he paid the price for your sin. Then the Bible says simply, once we have that settled in our heart, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So many have stumbled at the simplicity of it all, but it really is that easy. Jesus paid it all, so all to him I owe. I'm just going to trust him. Is there one say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved? Would you slip up your hand this morning? I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you that. I won't call out your name. I just want to pray for you today. Is there one say, pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved? If I were to die today, I might go to hell. I don't know. I'd like to know for sure that I can have Christ in my life. Is there one? Some are still praying. We'll give them a moment. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful again for your love for us, your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son. And so, Lord, we pray that this Christmas season that we would never forget and never put you in second place, but always keep you at the forefront of our hearts. And Father, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. Pastor McDonald's going to come. Don't forget tonight at 6 o'clock, choir. There's a warm-up at 5:30. 5:30, meet in the blue room for warm-up. And then 6 o'clock is our Christmas cantata. Invite somebody to come. Enjoy that. Let me give you an announcement very quickly. On Wednesday night, we were praying for Bearing Precious Seed Ministries. Pastor Stone and Pastor Holland entertained a private members bill at the House of Commons. It was passed by the subcommittee that day, which means it'd have to go to a second and third reading in the House of Commons, which can normally take several months. the MP that was there said, he says, today is our last day of session before the Christmas break. So he said, let me go talk to somebody very quickly and see if we can get a reading in today before you go. They went into the other room, came back, and they said, they're going to read it, discuss it, and if everybody likes it, they're going to read it a second, third time today and be done with it. That's unheard of. Usually bills take months to pass. And so the bill passed unanimously. The second reading, they talked about it. The third reading, it passed unanimously again. And so Bearing Precious Seed was able to get their taxes repealed almost to the tune of $8,000 a year that will go back into printing Bibles. If the city of St. Thomas is in agreement, they will refund up to 7 years in back taxes that can all be put into the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we praise the Lord for that and give thanks to that. And thank you folks for praying about that.
As far as announcements, but once again, busy Christmas season, we're happy Christmas food drive. If you want to
bless some folks and make their Christmas extra special, we have decorated boxes out there in the main foyer. Just bring some non-perishable goods and just place them in the boxes, and we'll see that they get to the right people. We want everybody to be excited about Jesus Christ, His birth, coming to Christmas, or coming into this world, and the reason for the Christmas season. So that's going to be a part of our delivery to them. Also, on January 17th, I mentioned this last week, I just want to mention again, we have a bus family Christmas dinner and gift giving, and that's in January. So that's after all this hoopla of the holiday season's over. For most, we want to make a special connection with our bus families. And if you can help, that would be great. And all you have to do is go out these doors here, out across from the ladies' choir room. You'll see a bulletin board there. You can just pick a card off of the bulletin board. It's got the name of a bus family. And you can just be responsible for buying the gifts for that family. We're going to give them to them on January the 17th. And you can even be a part of that if you want to volunteer. This is an opportunity to reach out to our families there that we're ministering to their children. Bring the parents in, and it'll be a great time. So if you just pull a card off, be responsible for that family, put your name on the card underneath it, on the board, so we know they're taken care of. If you don't want to put your name, just put it anonymous. We just want to make sure everybody's cared for at that time. So that's a great opportunity. And then also an appreciation of the men and women that serve our country in the military service. This year we want to do something special for someone who's come out from our church here, and that is for Nick Trunowski, and that's Rob and Deb's son, who's in the military. If you'd like to send a card, a letter, or even like a gift card, like a Tim's card or something, we're still accepting them today, and you want to write something up, just encourage him and praise God and thank him for making a stand for our safety, our freedom. Please do so, send it into the office. And we'll see, we're going to send out a batch tomorrow. So if you could do that today or tonight, that would be great. Just want to be an encouragement, a blessing to people. Also, check the card table outside the teenager's room. Because some of you folks have got actually people who care about you. Because they're sending you cards. And your names, we get the names of our folks there. And behind that, we have Christmas cards. The problem is that it fills up. The box is limited in space. Go out and check it. It's just outside the teenager's room and see if you got some Christmas cards, and please take them home with you. Also, an Academy Christmas play we have this Friday, 7 o'clock here this Friday. I know Mrs. Baker, the teachers, have been working hard with the kids. We got a good play for you, and that's, again, Friday. Now, there's no midweek service this week, so you're off that. We have, again, as the pastor said, Katana tomorrow night. But no midweek service. If you could come on out and be a support to the families of the Academy, that would be a great opportunity and great blessing for you. We also need volunteers to make our Christmas Eve service very special, and that's coming up this year. And it comes up every year, doesn't it? Christmas Eve. What am I talking? I'm just blabbering. I got one more message for you. Hang in there, okay? We'll get through this together. We need volunteers to make it special. The Christmas Eve. So if you want to write a poem or recite something, or if you want to play some music or you want to sing, now's your chance to do this. And we want to just invite more and more people to be involved in this. So please see Mrs. Lori Baker regarding that. We'll have a great time. All right? I think that's about all the announcements I have for you. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the gospel being preached again. We thank you especially for the Christmas season, because we have a message to tell the world that the Christ child came to this world. It's a historic fact. that he lived. He walked upon this earth for 33 days, or 33 years. And then after 3 days and three nights of and being in the grave after his crucifixion, he rose from the dead, giving us that blessed hope that we have. Lord, I just pray, if someone's not saved here this morning, as the pastor has preached the gospel, may they know that the invitation is always open. We're always available to lead someone to the Lord. They themselves, anywhere they go, they can just bow the knee, bow the head, and pray and ask Christ to save them. Father, may this be a blessing for all of us to be in your house this morning. Give us safety on the roads as we go back. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.